David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest on this show today. Her name is Iman White, and she is a personal trainer, and she also is a health coach. And she is really into improving people's health. She's very passionate about weight loss and about today's society, where we're going in our way we eat, the way we exercise, the way we take care of our bodies, and what's happening to people's health. And today she wants to really talk about the best weight loss advice that she could give to help people lose weight in a timely manner that's going to stay off and make you feel great. So I'm so excited to have you on the show. Tell everybody a little about yourself, Iman.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, first of all, for having me, Stacey. Really cool, you know, opportunity for me to be able to speak my message to so many people and your amazing audience. I like to think of myself as kind of your guide to the healthier, more confident version of yourself. Okay, so like a personal trainer for your nutrition and your mindset, because I strongly believe that both are incredibly important on your health journey. So I'm a nutrition coach who helps busy women aged about 30 to 55 lose 20 plus pounds sustainably without restrictive dieting, without excessive exercise, without giving up your favorite foods, which is I'm sure what a lot of people have tried. Over the years, I've helped, you know, dozens of women transform their bodies and also transform the way they look at weight loss. I'm very passionate about making sure that this is something that you do for the rest of your life, because, you know, I'm sure you've tried quick fix diets. You've done keto a million times. You've done Optavia. You've done the Beachbody workouts, but it just doesn't stick. And so many women, they see that and they're like, oh, there must be something wrong with me. You know, they think like my body's broken. It's my age. It's my metabolism, whatever. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just your approach. And the reason I know this is because, like many of you, I actually went about weight loss the completely wrong way when I was growing up. So when I was about 15 or 16, I was on a family vacation and a close family member of mine, in kind of a drunken moment, made a comment about my weight. And he said, you know, you're getting a little pudgy. And, you know, nowadays I'd probably take that and be like, okay, this person's, you know, had too much to drink. It is what it is. But as a 16-year-old girl, I mean, that was life altering for me. So it was a couple years before my senior year of high school. I think it was like my sophomore year. And I really took that to heart, and it really, yeah, it just really sat with me. And so finally, when I graduated high school, you know, there's that like golden summer in between your last year of senior year and your first year of college, where it's like no responsibilities except for just getting yourself ready for college. So I took it upon myself to learn how to exercise. So I started doing what I think most women do. I just went on YouTube and I searched up like how to lose weight. And at the time, what was really popular was an if it fits your macros approach. So basically, eating whatever you want, as long as you're in a caloric deficit, which, by the way, for those of you that don't know, a caloric deficit just means you're eating less than what you're burning. Right. So I kind of got that seed planted in my head, didn't really do too much with it. I started working out at a local gym and stuff like that. But then my first semester of college started. And it was at that time where I was like, okay, you know, I can't handle this right now. I've got school, I'm making friends, all this stuff. So I gained an additional like 20 pounds on top of weight I had already gained in high school, which is what prompted that family member to make that comment. Right. So now I'm like 30 pounds heavier than my most comfortable weight. And I finished my first semester at college, or my first year of college. And I'm like, I got to do something about this. Now I'm in this spot where I look in the mirror and I can barely hold back my tears. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. I feel awful. I started having these bouts of like anxiety and depression. Like I just didn't feel like myself at all. So I was like, you know what? I'm taking control. I'm going to lose this weight. And it was very much from a place of I'm ugly, I'm fat, I hate myself. So again, went back to YouTube, found out, okay, what I need to do is just lower my calories. Mm-hmm. So I started eating about 1100 calories per day. I was a very active individual. I was going to the gym every single day. I was running 1 to 3 miles every single day. And I lost weight and I lost it fast. But let me tell you, Stacey, I was miserable. I was anxious all the time. I missed out on so many family events. I wouldn't go out to eat with people unless the restaurant had their nutritional information on my Fitness Pal because I was so obsessed with calorie counting and everything. My carbs were really, really low, which has a horrible effect on your thyroid. So now that I'm a coach, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I totally wrecked myself. I did a number on my thyroid. I'm still dealing with that today. I caused myself major gut issues and I caused myself or led myself into anxiety and depression that I'm still working through to this day. And so because I had that experience, now I realize that not everyone can relate to every aspect of that, but I tell this story to let listeners know, like I've been in that spot when I've been overweight and uncomfortable in my body. I've been in a spot where I've been at a really low weight, but I have felt like the rest of my life was completely in shambles. And now I'm proud to say that I've finally gotten myself to a spot where I've achieved a bit of equilibrium, where I do feel pretty confident in my body. I feel like I take good care of myself. And I'm also able to enjoy myself and not have to stress and obsess over every single gram of food that I put in my body. So, you know, TLDR, I've done this before. And I'm passionate about helping women avoid the mistakes that I made.
That is awesome. I am so proud of you. You know, a
Thank
lot of
you.
people, you know, when it comes to weight gain, you know, it really, especially for women, and I'm going to say men too, because men may not, they may just, you know, I notice that men are more sarcastic. They'll get on each other and stuff like that. But when it comes to closed doors, it hits them hard, just like it
Oh,
hits
for sure.
women. You know, and I, you know, it's so hard, especially in our stigmatized world where everything is labelized, you know, to look at yourself and not be the person you want to be and feel like you are in a world where you feel powerless and stuck. And
Yes.
that's a terrible feeling. And to go in the street when you don't feel good about yourself, you know, psychologically, we think people are judging us because this is how we feel about ourselves psychologically. And it really, it hits us really hard in the self-esteem area. And it really affects us. It affects our productivity, you know, how we do well in society, you know, how well we look and react, you know. And when I say look, I mean like the glowing face, the smile, you know, the energetic, you know, I feel great about myself look. Because when a person comes in the room and they look great and they feel great, you can see the glow. But when a person is struggling with an issue like weight loss and they feel like they're not as where they want to be in life and they don't feel good about who they see in the mirror and they're judging themselves from their physical character and not who they are emotionally and who they are spiritually, it hits people really hard. It's amazing how you kind of just went and got yourself through that. And when you did get yourself through that, you know, what would you say were some of the biggest mistakes you made when you were trying to lose the weight? Because I see so many people trying all these different crazy diets, and a lot of them gain twice as much weight back. They gain all the weight back. They end up losing their hair. I hear stories of people telling me, I lost my hair. My hair was falling out because my body went into shock, you know, and they feel hopeless. So for you, what were some of the big mistakes that you made that you learned from?
Yeah, first of all, I really appreciate what you said right there, Stacey, about, you know, I really believe that our health is our foundation for everything else. In fact, I just made this post on Facebook a few days ago and I said, I wish people more understood how much is unlocked from your personal relationships to your financial wealth and everything else when you are your best version of yourself. And what I think a lot of people fail to understand is that the best version of yourself does not come from starving yourself and punishing yourself, but it comes from loving yourself and taking care of yourself. And I've got to shout out a podcast. They're called Mind Pump. I don't know if your listeners listen to them or maybe you're familiar, but I got to shout them out because that's where I got that idea from, is the idea of loving yourself versus punishing yourself. But to go back to your question about the mistakes that I made, that was the biggest one. I went at my weight loss journey from a place of I'm ugly. I'm not lovable. I'm unworthy. You know, at the time, again, it was like my sophomore year of college. So I'm in a spot where I want to start dating and I would go on all these dates with these guys. And it was always just like, awkward and I never like hit it off with people. And so it was all this like reinforcement of just like, you're ugly, it's because you're fat. Like that was my mindset. And I know I'm speaking in such like harsh negative tone right now, but that's literally how I thought about myself. So I think, you know, I'll go into some of the mental mistakes and then what I call metabolic mistakes as well. So mental mistakes, again, not to beat a dead horse, but it was coming at it from a place of, I need to get this weight off immediately. I can't stand to look at myself in the mirror. I will do whatever it takes. And when you have that mentality of I will do whatever it takes, you're going to take the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance usually brings the most resistance. And what I mean by that is you think to yourself, I'm just going to slash my calories. I'm just going to take, you know, this fat burning pill. I'm just going to do Herbalife, whatever it is. And you lose weight quickly, but you cause yourself so many problems. You mentioned that hair loss, that's a sign of hormonal imbalances and likely thyroid dysregulation. Right. So what you've done is you've put your body through this strict, severe restriction, right, of caloric intake, and your thyroid gets downregulated, which is a fancy way of saying your metabolism gets downregulated. So you're not able to grow healthy hair and skin and nails and things like that. You know, so that was a big part. I think something that I really preach to the women I work with today is setting that foundation for yourself. So I have a coaching program and we go through a three-phase approach to weight loss. So we have our build phase. This is where we set the foundation. We work on our mindset. We work on our relationship with ourselves. We start to attack those limiting beliefs, those blockages, those mental hurdles that keep us stuck. We have to set the foundation before we can even entertain the idea of fat loss, right? So I didn't do that at all. I was not coming at it from a good place. And because of that, it was a disaster for myself, right? The second phase is where we actually go into fat burning. Another mistake I made was I just cut out everything, cut out all my favorite foods, developed this horrible relationship with food that I'm still working on to this day, like 5 or 6 years later, more than that, almost 8 years now. You know, where we have this idea that, you know, certain foods are going to make me fat. I can't eat my favorite foods. That's not a sustainable approach. Eventually, you're going to end up at a birthday party or a celebratory dinner. You're going to want to have a piece of cake. You need to learn how to navigate that situation. We live in a world that's inundated with hyper palatable processed foods. You and I were talking about this before we started recording, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn how to eat these foods and not get fat from them. And if you just avoid them forever, you're not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And then the last phase that we take clients through, and again, relating this back to my own journey, is a balance phase. So this is our lifestyle integration portion of our program. And I'm not saying this to try to self-promote. This is literally why I came up with this program. I did all of this to myself. You know, once I kind of, okay, I got the weight off, like I'm getting back to eating foods that I like, I'm starting to achieve more balance. I didn't understand how to handle like extraneous events, like a vacation or a holiday. So I would get to these events and I would binge eat because I was so restrictive with myself on my good days that my bad days just looked crazy. Or I remember the specific time. My mom is from Pakistan. And so she has family there. She had a cousin that was visiting and she came to New York. So we were taking the train. My family's from Maryland. We were taking the train from Maryland to New York. And the most cost-effective time for the train was like 7 a.m., which isn't uber early, but it's pretty early.
Yeah.
But it was on a Wednesday. And at the time, Wednesdays were a workout day for me. So I got up at 4 in the morning to go to the gym to make that 7 a.m. train because I believed that if I didn't,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Get my workout in that day that I would gain fat, right? So that's what we're working on in that balance phase is your relationship with exercise and food so that this is something sustainable for you. So again, a very roundabout answer there, but I lacked setting that foundation both mentally and physically. Going more into some of the physical aspects of it, you know, just completely slashing your calories without any rhyme or reason, without figuring how much you actually need to nourish your body, is a recipe for disaster. You're going to set yourself up for metabolic dysfunction, like we talked about, you know, potential hormonal issues, gut health issues, all sorts of stuff that I ended up having to deal with after from going way too low. So I think one of the biggest lies in the diet and fitness industry right now is that the solution to weight loss is just to eat less and move more. And it's that simple. It is really not. It really takes a different approach, a lifestyle shift, and wanting to come at this from a place of loving yourself versus beating yourself into the ground.
Oh, I love that. Yes. So true. And I see so many people, they just try to slash their calories and they go, you know, and then they don't have success. And then how long can you really put yourself on these crazy eating habits where, you know, I knew someone that did celery and carrots, you know, and I was like, every day they're chopping up celery and carrots. Yep. Well, how long can you eat celery and carrots before you just like say, I can't take this anymore. And then you go back and you binge because you are just like, you know, you've had it with these celery and carrots. You don't want to look at another celery and carrot in the rest of your life. And then all of a sudden you go back to your old eating habits and you're like, oh, you know, everything looks like glorious to you. And then you put all the weight back on, you know, and like you said, the shock it puts to your body and it changes everything. It changes, you know, your metabolism, it changes your thyroid function and everything that you need to be healthy and strong and your gut, especially because everything is, you know, it really the root cause of everything really begins in the gut. So you screw up your gut and you're going to screw up your whole body, you know, and people don't realize that. A lot of times people talk about, you know, this bothers me. I can't lose weight. Well, it all starts in the gut, you know, what we put in our body and how are we taking care of ourselves?
Yeah, 100%. That's a whole other podcast episode right there. I've had my fair share of gut issues and work with women on that as well, but I 100% agree. So yeah, I mean, I really think, you know, it's funny because from my perspective, this is just like, well, duh, we have to take care of ourselves. Duh, we have to nourish our body. But I feel like the average woman who's trying to lose weight has not heard that message nearly enough, which is why I think it's important to be reminding these people, you know, because it's easy to look at a coach and be like, oh, you've got everything figured out. It's like, no, I made those same exact mistakes as you did because I did what you're doing, which is just, you know, I turned on the Today Show and they said to cut out carbs because carbs are what make you fat. Or I listened to Oprah or whatever it is, right? We're getting this. And then of course, now we've got the emergence of all these fitness influencers, right? Yeah. So I swear, Stacey, I turn on my Instagram feed and one person's yelling at me that seed oils are going to kill me. The next person is telling me I should only eat meat and that's the only way to lose weight. So I think it's important to kind of work through all that muddy information and get to the truth, which is that you ultimately have to find something that works for you and your body and your lifestyle. And it's a little bit different for every individual, which is why you need to be doing something that is unique to you. And it's not just generic diet advice, right? Generic diet advice of, you know, eating 1200 calories, which is what I did. Generic diet advice of carbs are bad for you. Well, carbs are not bad for you if you're working out multiple times a day, like I was. I would have loved to have some carbs at that time, right? So yeah, kind of going off on a bit of a tangent there, but I think it's really important to look at this as a journey versus a destination.
Oh, I agree with you. You know, and some people also say, you know, you have controversy when it comes to breakfast. You know, some people say you should have a big breakfast, start your day. You know, it's good to chew. It brings up the metabolism. And then you have people that are eating grapefruit and cottage cheese for breakfast. You know, it's like, you know, and from your own perspective, you know, what do you feel about like breakfast? Is that the most important meal of the day? Or is that something that, you know, you just start the day with a little cottage cheese or a yogurt or, you know?
Yeah, great like question. That? I think, like you said, there's kind of two camps. It's like eat a massive breakfast and then, or just eat nothing and just drink black coffee, right? And by the way, I feel like people who say they love black coffee are lying and they would love some cream and sugar in there probably. My opinion on breakfast. So I am a big proponent of a high protein breakfast. Protein is one of the three, technically there's four because alcohol is one too, but one of the three macronutrients. So macronutrients are basically nutrients that make up our food, right? So everyone's heard of carbs because everyone's afraid of them. Then we've got protein, then we've got fats. Mm-hmm. And so the cool thing about protein is protein keeps you really full. So the reason that people get that energy crash at like, 12 or 1 p.m., it's because they eat this really high carbohydrate, low protein breakfast. And what that does is it spikes your blood sugar. Well, what goes up must come down. So when your blood sugar goes up real quick, it spikes down real quick too. And when it falls, I shouldn't say spikes down, it falls down. When it falls down, that's where you start to get those cravings. You start to get irritable. You know, your boss pisses you off a little bit more than usual. You know, your husband's irritating you. It's because of that blood sugar crash. So what we want to do is we do want to be eating something first thing in the morning. Believe it or not, a lot of you listening to this podcast who are not losing weight, who are stuck, you're not eating enough of the right food. Right. So some of you are straight up overeating. Those are the women listening and the men listening who, you know, they're stopping at Krispy Kreme on the way to work every single day and they know they're straight up overeating. This message may not be for you, but I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of you listening to this who have been struggling for years and years and years to try and lose weight. And you eat so little that you're actually underfed, you're under muscled, and you're not getting enough nutrients in. Right. So if that's who I'm speaking to, well, anyone should, in my expert opinion, implement a high protein breakfast in. So people hear that and they think, okay, two eggs, I'm going to eat two eggs. Eggs are high in protein. Eggs are amazing. And I love that. You should be aiming to get about 30 to 40 grams of protein per day, or excuse me, per meal at the minimum. Most women need, or some women need a little bit more. Some women need a little bit less. 30 to 40 grams minimum at breakfast is my sweet spot for myself and my clients. So what does that look like? If you want to eat eggs, you may need to scramble in some egg whites as well. Maybe you do a high protein smoothie with some Greek yogurt, some milk, some cottage cheese. If you're lactose or dairy intolerant, you might need to do some breakfast sausage, something like that. But you want it to be about 30 to 40 grams. What's really cool about this is not only is it good for your muscles, so it helps you build muscle, which will make you look toned. It will not make you look bulky. I don't know very women who look bulky, and the ones who do are taking steroids and things that will make them look bulky, right?
Yes.
So it's going to help you look more toned. It's going to keep you full. It's going to prevent that blood sugar crash, which by the way is horrible when it comes to fat storage.
Yeah.
It's also, this is a really cool little insight. I want people to listen to this. It will help you make better choices the rest of the day. So they've actually done research to show that people who eat a high protein breakfast are less likely to indulge in traditionally unhealthy foods later on in the day. So if you take away one piece of advice from this whole entire episode, get yourself going with a high protein breakfast. It's the best way to start your day. Now, some people do okay with a little bit of intermittent fasting here and there. I'm not completely against it, but fasting is a tool. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a diet. You use it every once in a while to elicit a certain response. You do not use it every single day. Your body adapts to everything. It will adapt to fasting and it will eventually stop working. When it stops working and you go back to your bagel or your cereal, that's when you gain all the weight back.
Right.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And also, I have a question for you. When it comes to protein, you know, some people are like, they come on the show and they are all for high protein, high protein, high protein. Then you have people, you know, and you read articles that say too much protein could be bad for the body. You don't want to do it on protein, you know, because you have a lot of people out there that are fitness gurus, you know, and they're pumping that protein. You got to have protein, you know, and they're selling protein and stuff like that. But then you do your research and then you read about too much protein can actually be to have an adverse effect on the body. They really have to have that equilibrium, you know, that happy equilibrium.
Yeah, 100%. I am a firm believer in there's an appropriate dose of everything. There's an appropriate dose of exercise. There's an appropriate dose of calories. There's an appropriate dose of protein in anything that you do. So I 100% agree with your take. I actually, speaking of mistakes I made the mistake of just slamming protein. When I first started, I was eating like 170 grams of protein a day, which is way too much for what my body weight was at the time.
Right.
And it's hard to break down. It's hard to digest, right? It's why it keeps you full, is because it takes a lot of energy for your body to break down protein. So my suggestion on that is, first, you need to figure out how much you're eating. So I highly recommend tracking it. You don't necessarily need to use an online tracker like MyFitnessPal or Chronometer or anything like that. Although those can be helpful, but just kind of keep a tally of what you're eating. And if you figure out, okay, I'm eating like 80 grams of protein a day, but I should be eating closer. Actually, let me address that real quick. For most women trying to lose weight, you should be eating about 1 gram per pound of your target body weight. So if you're a 200 pound woman and you want to weigh 140 pounds, I would aim for about 140 grams of protein per day. Okay. However, if you do that little tracking exercise and find out you're only eating 80 grams, you should not bump up from 80 to 140. That's where you're going to start to get those adverse effects. So you may need to baby step your way up to that. But yeah, there's no need for you to be eating, you know, 200 grams of protein per day as a 180 pound woman. Really too much of anything, is usually not good. And, you know, you've got people that'll say there's no adverse effect on the kidneys. There are people that say there is an adverse effect on the kidneys. I just don't see a need to overdo it unless you really like protein, but most people are going to prefer to hit their protein goals. Yes. But then also have some rumen for carbs and fats, because at the end of the day, you are going to be needing to eat in what we talked about earlier, which is a caloric deficit to lose weight. And so if you're spending all your calories on protein, you're not going to have much room for the other fun stuff in there either.
Right. Oh, so true. So true. Now, the next question I have for you is fats. Now, this is another thing, you know, people get confused with this. So we know that processed fats are bad for you. We know saturated fats are bad for us. Now we have those healthy fats. And then I hear a lot of controversy with that also. They're like, oh, no, you shouldn't have, you know, that's fattening for you. You know, they go like nuts, for example, nuts are, they have a healthy fat, you know, salmon has healthy fats in it. So it's like, you know, what do you think that when it comes to those type of foods, you know, how much would you suggest that people include in their daily eating habits or weekly eating habits or monthly habits, you know, so they don't gain weight? Because, you know, for the longest time, people were eating granola bars and they thought it was healthy, and people were actually gaining weight from granola bars because all that, you know, it was like all the nuts plus all the other junk they were putting in it actually made people gain weight. So what's your insight about that?
Yeah, I will answer that in 1 second. One thing I want everyone to be very clear on is that the king of everything here we're talking about is caloric intake. Simply put, if you are eating more than you are burning, you will gain weight, right? Now, a lot of people try to influence that equation, right? They're like, okay, well, I'll burn more. This is the people that go and spend 2 hours on the treadmill to earn a cheeseburger, right? Because they're trying to burn off the calories. Yeah. That's a losing strategy. I can tell you that. Now, why people demonize foods like granola bars and nuts and things like that is because, yes, they do have healthier ingredients sometimes, although most, you know, granola bars and stuff on the shelf are laden with processed carbs and a bunch of weird ingredients and stuff like that, but they are calorically dense. So a food that is calorically dense means that for a little amount of food, you're getting a lot of calories, right?
Yeah.
So that's the problem with nuts. I'm not saying you shouldn't eat nuts. I just ate yesterday some granola that had nuts in it. but what you're looking at here is that in the palm of your hand, you can have, you know, 10 to 12 almonds, and that may be 200 to 300 calories.
Right.
Well, who's only eating a handful of almonds when they eat them? No, we're sitting there eating them out the container. You know, you get the blue diamond, like smoked ones, and you're just chomping away. That could be like 1,000 calories right there.
Right.
And then what you've done is you've exceeded your caloric intake for the day, or your target caloric intake for the day. That's why they get demonized. Now, healthy fats, in my opinion, are underconsumed by most people. Most of America is eating these processed inflammatory fats as the majority of fats in their diet. So again, before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about seed oils, right? And I mentioned them earlier in the show. So seed oils, and again, there's a bunch of debate on this. I'm always a proponent of find what works for you. I notice when I eat them, I don't feel as good. I feel more inflamed. I feel puffier.
Yeah.
So I've personally cut them out of my diet, and I feel good with that. But that's where the majority of Americans are getting their fats from. Things like oil that, you know, fries have been fried in, and oil that's, you know, added to things like chips and crackers and whatnot. That is an issue because there are a couple of different types of fats and they need to be balanced in the body. So there's omega-3s, there's omega-6s, there's omega-9s. Those need to be in the right ratio in our body for our bodies to function optimally. So most people need more omega-3 fats, which is why you'll see in the health space, people always touting the benefits of things like salmon, extra virgin olive oil, chia seeds, et cetera, et cetera. So we do need healthy fats in our diet. Some signs that you're not getting enough fat. If you feel like your libido, your sex drive is very low, if you notice that your skin's very dry, you've got brittle hair and nails, again, that could be a sign of a thyroid problem, could also be a sign of hormonal dysregulation, which can be exacerbated by low fat intake, right? So there's a lot of kind of nasty side effects that come from eating too little fat. So once again, we've got to get the right ratio for you. I have clients who don't really care for olive oil and avocado and nut butters and things like that. And they want a lot of carbs in their diet. I'm like, cool, but we do need to get those healthy fats in a good range. Then I've got clients that want to eat a ribeye and a bunch of eggs and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's fine, but we also want to make sure your carbs don't drop too low. So there's some flexibility in terms of what those ranges look like for each individual, but we do need to include all of those macronutrients in our diet. And you'll have the keto people come on and say carbohydrates are not essential for human, you know, survival, which is true, but I don't know a lot of women, especially women ages 35 and up, who do really well with anything less than 100 grams of carbs at the bare minimum. That is the lowest I would let a client go for a prolonged period of time.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. You know, and also when it comes to cravings, this is another thing that people, you know, and I've gone through this. I still go through it. I'm great during the day, good during the afternoon, had a healthy dinner, and then 10 o'clock comes. I'm watching my television show, and then all of a sudden I see all these things come in my head. Ooh, I have popcorn downstairs. Ooh, I have the dark chocolate downstairs. Ooh. Yep. You know, I have these low fat, you know, calorie cookies, you know, downstairs, you know, and then it's like, and then you go and you get, you know, or I love cashews. I take a full of cashews, but I know, just like you said, those cashews are probably over 20 grams of fat at least, you know, and God knows how many calories. And I see the difference, you know, I do put on a pound or two if I'm doing it consistently.
Yeah.
How, now this is a problem that everyone struggles with that I've talked to, cravings. How do we control our cravings, especially at night when we're just sitting there and we're not really doing much, we're just relaxing, and then you know, we're watching our TV show or something, and those little things that we tend to really crave start to come in our head, but we don't, and you could ruin the whole day. You work so hard to be healthy, and then at nighttime, you screw it up, you know?
Yeah, great question. I've actually, it's so funny. This is like the theme of my week this week, Stacey, is cravings. I had a few clients ask me about this week, and then I addressed them last night on a group call I did with my clients as well. So I look at cravings from two different perspectives. There is the emotional side of them, and then there's the physical side of them. So I'm going to start with the physical side because I think this is the side that people know less about. I actually, this is going to sound crazy. I love when I have a craving, because when I crave something, that's my body's way of communicating with me. So your body can't talk to you, right? It doesn't, you know, you don't just like get possessed and then it writes out something that it needs you to know. It talks to you through different things, right? If you're having skin issues, it's trying to talk to you. If you're tired, it's trying to talk to you. If you're losing your hair, it's trying to talk to you. If you're getting persistent cravings, it's trying to talk to you. So different cravings for different things may signal different deficiencies in your day. Okay. So if you always have cravings every single day and it's for random stuff, you might be overstressed. You might be underslept. You might not be getting in enough calories in your day. if you have cravings for like specific stuff, I always get this right before, you know, clients always tell me they're about to get their period and they're like, I can't stop thinking about chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right before our period, one of our main female sex hormones, progesterone, drops. When progesterone drops, the body's natural response is, oh my gosh, I want to bring that back up. How do we bring up progesterone? One of the ways is to increase our carbohydrate consumption. This is why you start to crave French fries and popcorn and chocolate and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Another common reason for a chocolate craving is a magnesium deficiency. If you're craving crackers and chips and McDonald's, you might be deficient in sodium, or you might be really stressed out. So you can look up, why am I craving, and then put whatever in.
Right.
And you can figure out a specific nutrient or vitamin or mineral that you might be missing out on, right? So don't ignore your cravings. Don't get mad. Be thankful, as crazy as it sounds, be grateful that you have a craving, because it's your body's way of telling you that you're lacking something. In my opinion, a little bit of a tangent here, same thing. If you are anxious all the time or you're depressed all the time, it's your body's way of telling you you're not getting your needs met in some way, shape, or form. Okay. So that's the physical side of it. Then there's the emotional side of it, right? You get to the end of a long day. You had a horrible day at work. You fought with your boss. Your clients were, you know, ticking you off. You had a disagreement with your daughter. You're finally sitting down to watch Netflix, and then the internet's slow because it snowed. And you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, can I catch a break?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that little voice in your head's like, you know what, Stacey, we've got those cashews downstairs. We've got that dark chocolate. And you're like, you know what? I deserve that. I've had a crappy day. Sorry. I have a potty mouth, right? I've had a crappy day. I'm going to go get, you know, some of that out of the cabinet. I deserve that. Right.
Right.
That's emotional eating. That's an emotional craving. Again, it's your body's way of telling you that you need something. People that eat when they're bored, you may need connection. You may need more social interaction in your life.
Yeah.
People that eat when you're stressed, you probably need a better way of channeling your stress, right?
Yeah.
But you have to take a look at these things and actually look at them through a different lens versus just, oh my gosh, I can't stand that I'm having these cravings all the time.
Right. Oh, great advice. Great advice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to like weight loss, we talked about a lot of different issues, you know, a lot of things that occur when you're trying to lose weight, and you gave some amazing advice. And also, like, I, you know, before we, you know, I ask you any further, I just want to, I was thinking fruit. Now, fruit can convert to sugar. It does convert to sugar. And I don't know about you, but have you ever seen the banana debate on the internet?
Blend it and you get fatter because you blended it. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that also, and also, you know, how many bananas can you have in a day? How many bananas can you have in a week? You know, you blend it, you know, is it more fattening? You know, it's 100 calories a banana. It converts to sugar. Are bananas good for you, or are they bad for you? You know, because a lot of people use them in their smoothies and, you know, and so it was like a big controversy. Are they good? Are they bad? How many can you have? Are they making you gain weight? Are they not making you gain weight? What's your take?
Yeah. So if I'm answering this for a specific person, my answer will never change. And it depends. So if I have a client who's diabetic and they really have to watch their sugar spikes, maybe a banana isn't the best option. Maybe we're going to go for a fruit that's a little lower in sugar and higher in fiber, something like berries, right?
Yeah.
If it's a super athlete that I'm training and they're about to go do their Orange Theory workout, you need that little bit of sugar spike. It's going to help you fuel your workout. So it really does depend for every single individual, which I know isn't the sexy answer, but in my opinion, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I think that what we need to do here is kind of zoom out and look at what you're really asking, which is, can a specific food make you fat? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Any overconsumption of anything can make you fat. You can overeat broccoli technically and get fat from it, even though I don't know anyone who could eat that much broccoli to be in a caloric surplus.
Yeah.
I feel like you would be bloated and gassy and feeling horrible.
Right.
But I think this is an example of what the fitness industry does a great job at, which is confuse people over the silliest things.
Yeah.
And really, really, we're missing the forest through the from the trees, right?
Yeah.
It's a shame, to be honest with you, that we are even having this conversation. Not that it's a big deal that you brought it up, but like, people are sitting here arguing about should I eat a banana versus should I not? When in reality, like their life is in shambles, they're not controlling their stress, their gut health's a mess, they don't sleep well, and they think that a banana is what's making them fat. It's not that. If you're asking yourself that question, you got to zoom out and take a deep breath, because you're getting way too fixated on something that really doesn't have that big an effect on your overall health.
Oh, very good advice. Now, another question. So the weight loss industry is a $1 billion industry. Weight loss pills, weight loss supplements, all these things. You see all the info commercials. What, you know, people are spending tons of money. Like a lot of times, like, you know, I got, you know, because I'll get a lot of samples. People, companies will send me stuff. And this company, it was like ridiculous. It was like over $60 for one bottle. I turned it around and probably it cost them less than $2 to make the product. So, you know, and you know, a lot of these supplements, most of them don't work. And some of them have actually done really bad damage to people's, you know, insides. And, you know, what's your intake about weight loss pills and weight loss supplements?
Yeah, great question. I do think most of them are garbage. So there's different categories of pills and supplements and things like that. You've got straight up fat burners, which basically just use caffeine and sometimes like carnitine and different other substances that basically just make you sweat and make you move a little bit more and suppress your appetite. So basically they're glorified appetite suppressants. Maybe they work a little bit, but they're really expensive. And do you really want to be relying on a bunch of caffeine and stimulants to get you to stop eating? Probably not. Again, we are not fixing the root cause. We're not getting down to, well, why are you overeating? What's your relationship with food like? This is why it's so important to address those foundations, like I talked about earlier in the show, right? Now, a whole other can of worms we can open is, you know, the GLP-1 conversation. So Ozempic, Mounjaro, I think there's one called Zepbound. These are the injections that are coming out. I actually have a different take on these that I think a lot of people in the industry are maybe don't have. I don't think they're as horrible as people are making them out to be. I think they are new, and maybe we do need more research. And I'll say right now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert in this. But I do believe that if you use them properly with the advice and guidance of someone who really knows what they're doing, not just getting them from your local med spa and taking them and have them destroy your appetite and doing your same thing. No, if you want to completely change your lifestyle and those are going to help you slightly better manage your appetite and your blood sugar, I'm all for that. I am not all for you deciding that you're just going to slash your calories down, because that's all they're going to help you do is basically just destroy your appetite and you're just going to eat nothing. If you do that, I'm telling you right now, you're going to lose a ton of weight. And you're like, yes, that's what I want. I want to lose a ton of weight. You're going to lose a lot of muscle. You are going to be a version of yourself that's 30 pounds lighter, and you're not going to like the way that you look in the mirror, because you're going to have no definition. You're not going to be healthy. And the second you get off that medication, you're going to gain all the weight back. I know this because I've trained women who have done that. So if you do want to explore that route, I really encourage you to do your research, look into peptide experts, not general practitioners, peptide experts. One that comes to mind is Dr. Tina Moore, I think is her name. You can check her out. There's a lot of good information that she has. But you've got to make sure that no matter how you choose to lose weight, that you are on board with the idea of this being a lifestyle change and not trying to find a quick fix, because all these supplements and shakes and pills and tapeworms and all the crap that people are still trying, it's a quick fix and it may work temporarily, but it will not work forever.
100%. I agree with you. And then also surgeries. There are surgeries out there that will, you know, they'll staple the stomach or they'll shrink the stomach and they'll do things so you can't digest as much food. And if you try, you'll actually vomit. Your body won't accept it. And a lot of these people do this and they lose weight really rapidly. The head looks really big because it doesn't fit the shape of their body. And then you see the saggy skin because the elasticity, they lost it so fast that the body can't actually pull the skin back and they end up with saggy skin. And then a lot of them, they can't actually get surgery to hide to pull back the skin until they lose X amount of weight. And that, so then they have all this saggy skin. They have, they're not enjoying themselves because they can't eat as much. And, it puts them in a predicament. Is it really safe for you? Is it healthy for you? And then they have to go through this cosmetic surgery, and they literally just, go through right over here. They cut it up and they pull it back, and you can't see it when their arms are down, but if they raise their arms in a certain way, you can see the scars from the surgery. So, to me, that's a little bit over the extreme. I'm sure there's other ways, like the ways we were discussing, healthier ways to lose weight. What's your intake before we close our session about surgery and weight loss?
I mean, here's the thing. I really don't want to put people down. Some people really feel like they've tried everything and that's their last resort. And so once again, it's a personal decision. I've worked with clients who have had bariatric surgery. So I know that, it's an option and it's something that sometimes people go through. What I'll say is that I learned this concept back in economics class in high school. I can't believe I remember it, but it really stood out to me. It's a concept of there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's always some place that you have to pay. And I don't mean financially, I mean by sacrifice. So if you want to get weight loss surgery, you need to accept that you're basically going to be only able to eat. And I'm talking about specifically like, shrinking the stomach, like those type of surgeries, right? You're only going to be able to eat a very little amount. I had an intake call with someone a few months ago, and she I we kind of talked through her situation, and I said, well, your problem is you're not eating enough. And she's like, well, I can barely eat anything because I had that surgery, right? So now she's in this predicament where her metabolic rate has slowed down because she eats so little, and we can't fix it because if she eats more, she gets physically ill, right? So you've got that. Anytime you undergo any sort of surgery, you risk, having to deal with infections. You have potential implications on your gut health, which we talked about earlier, being literally the stem of like everything. So, it's a risk that you're going to take. You take a risk if you're going to go on Ozempic. You're going to take a risk with basically any method that you try that isn't just learning the lifestyle methods that we spoke about earlier of taking care of yourself, eating. In fact, is it okay if I kind of lay out what I think those are? Because I feel like we've gone into a lot of different areas, but I want to make sure I sort of tell people, like, they might be thinking, well, what are these lifestyle methods? So there's a couple, and I have a list of these, but there's physical and there's mental methods, so to speak, right? Checkpoints that I go through with my clients. So shout out to my assistant coach, Lindsay. We have the daily news. So we look at nutrition, exercise, water, sleep, and stress. These things all need to be addressed on the physical side of things. So for nutrition, we want to be eating whole natural foods about 80 to 90% of the time, things that are unprocessed, things that could be grown or killed, right? So meat-based products, dairy, if you can tolerate that, fruits, veggies, and then what we call nature's carbs, things like sweet potatoes, quinoa, et cetera, right? Rice is on there too, by the way. Exercise, you want to be strength training. For most people, 2 to 3 days per week is completely appropriate. For most people, HIIT classes, boot camp style stuff, Zumba, backflip classes are not necessary. Strength training with straight sets, 2 to 3 days per week. Water, you should be drinking about half your body weight in ounces of water per day. So I'm speaking in pounds in case anyone's listening in another part of the world. So if I weigh 140 pounds, divide that by two, 70 ounces is the minimum I want to get. I'm an active individual, so I usually add about 15 to 20 to that. So I aim to get between 80 and 100 ounces of water per day. Sleep, you want to be sleeping 7 to 9 hours per night. Prioritize your sleep like it's the end of the world. I'm telling you right now. Turn your temperature down in your house, make it a nice, cool, dark environment. Put away your screens 30 minutes before bed. Treat your sleep super seriously. I bet half of the people listening right now, if they actually took their sleep seriously, they would bust through their weight loss plateau. And that's the bottom of the pyramid for me. And then stress. If you're stressed out all the time, if you are someone that's go, 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 never has a minute to sit down, drive the kids here, do this, do that, PTA mom, all the, everything, right? You never have a moment to breathe. Your body stores that energy and it does not feel safe and comfortable to get you in a restorative state, which is what it takes to lose weight, right? So you've got that. And then the mental side of things is a whole, again, a whole other conversation, but essentially you need to have the belief that you can change. You need to believe that you are capable of change. You need to believe that you can get better at the things that you're not good at. You need to believe that you are worth this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you couple those two things together, that is going to get you the fastest, most effective, most sustainable weight loss. And all the other stuff we talked about, skipping meals, supplements, all that stuff doesn't matter if you focus on what I just spoke about.
I love it. I love it. Now, if we had to take today's conversation and you wanted to really pull out some important factors, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize, some of your best advice that you can give?
Yeah, two-pronged approach to weight loss, okay? Mindset, metabolism. That's what I just spoke about. Mm-hmm. Getting your metabolic health in order, making sure your mindset's in a good spot. That's that first phase that we talked about a little bit earlier, right? So you want to make sure you're building your foundation. If something seems too good to be true with weight loss, it is. Surgeries, supplements, all this stuff that feels like, oh, this is painless. This is my quickest, easiest way to weight loss.
Yeah.
There's something on the other end of that that's going to come in and it's going to affect you. The last thing that we didn't really talk about, but I want to bring this up. Your progress is not linear. You're going to have times when the scale goes up, but you're trending down, right?
Right.
So it might go up for one day, but then the next 3 days it comes down. You have to look at every failure, every missed workout, every poor decision at a meal, every day that the scale is up as a piece of data. It's hard because weight loss is very emotional, right? We tie it to our self-worth. We tie it to our confidence, but it's data at the end of the day. So if you can look at everything that goes wrong, everything that you fail at and say, what can I learn from that? And how can I get better at it?
Yeah.
You will succeed. If you get literally 1% better every single day, you are 365% better at the end of the year. If you can't manage 1% better, if you get 0.5% better every single day, you're whatever the math is on that, half of 365, you're still a way better person at the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So accept that there are going to be obstacles, things are going to get hard. And the only way that you truly fail at losing weight is if you quit.
Yes. Oh, excellent advice. Excellent advice. I love it. Now tell everybody about the services that you provide.
Yeah. So we have a couple of different tiers of our coaching. So we have one-on-one coaching. I call this like a complete lifestyle revamp. We take care of everything for you from, you know, what you should be eating, how much you should be eating, what you need to focus on, your exercise. You're like, tell me what you do. I'm like, I don't know what I do.
Yeah.
your exercise programming, we order labs for you, look at your hormones, all that stuff. And then we have a group coaching program as well. That's more for women who feel like they really need to work on those foundations.
Yeah.
We really help you set those. So those are our two main services. I've got a free Facebook community that you're more than welcome to join. It's called the Female Fat Loss Blueprint. If you liked anything I said, or you want to dive deeper into what I'm talking about, I do live trainings in there every single day. Trying to think what else. I've got a podcast of my own called The Mindset Diet, where I really explore the mental side of things as well. And then if it's cool with you, Stacey, what I'd love to give your listeners completely for free is we have a metabolic reboot guide that actually goes through and helps you identify which specific of those things I listed, nutrition, exercise, water, sleep, stress, that you need to work on, because someone probably listened to that and was like, oh my gosh, that's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So we have a guide that helps you figure out what you need to specifically work on, and a quiz that you can take that will help you understand how to accelerate your specific results. The last thing is, I hope it came off in this recording, I'm very passionate about this. This has deeply affected me, people that I'm close with. I live and breathe this. It's my life. It's my career. Mm-hmm. And I am always open to conversing with people about this. So, I'm sure I'll give you my Instagram handle and stuff like that. But if you ever have a question or you want to DM me, like, please, you know, shoot me a voice message. Like, we can set up a time to talk. Like, I'm open to talking with people. I don't expect every single person that reaches out to become a client. I'm not going to try to sell you into my stuff. I believe that people who want the help will reach out to me if they need it. That was my little promo.
That's great. Now, do you have a website that people can go to?
Believe it or not, no, I do not have a website. That's in the works
sometime
soon here. So if you want to connect with me, I would say the best way to do so is to follow me on Instagram and shoot me a message. You can friend me on Facebook as well. And then I can also drop my email if people want to reach out.
Awesome. We'll put that in the description for you. This has been amazing, Iman. I
Thank
love
you.
everything you had to say today. You are very knowledgeable and so passionate. And I'm really, really appreciative that you actually, shared your story, because it's not easy sometimes sharing our stories, because there's a lot of emotion behind the stories. Even though
For
we can
sure.
easily, with practice, we can share the stories with people. People don't realize that the hurt is still there, the pain that we went through, the insecurities, everything that we've gone through. As we get older, we learn how to heal and we learn how to move forward. But it is every time we share a story, it's hard and people don't realize that. So I commend you for sharing your story, and I know that your story will help others, because there are thousands, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands of people who struggle with weight loss, and it's so
Yeah.
prevalent in our society, and it's so prevalent around the world. And you see nowadays even illnesses, diabetes tripled, and we can go on. That's another podcast, but it's just there's it's something that people struggle with, and they want it so bad. And you gave such amazing advice today. So I just want to commend you and thank you for taking the time out to share everything you did.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. If you're in a spot like that, please do not give up on yourself. Seriously. I've come so close in so many times in my life where I was just like, you know what? I'm just destined to be stuck here. And you're not. There's always an answer. You just have to keep looking for it.
Definitely, 100%. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I really hope that you'll come back soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, have a great day.
You too.